1 Corinthians 14. I can only trust that the Lord will make this somewhat clear. As usual, I've struggled with it. I can only hope that He will fix your hearts to receive it, and He will have something to say to you. Brother Hubert used to say many times, if my voice is the only voice you hear today, then it profited you nothing. That's still true. And that's what I want to deal with, that certain distinct voice. We'll begin reading in verse number 7 in a moment. Before we do, would you bow as we ask the Lord's help and blessings on the remainder of our service here this morning. Our Father, it is to Thee we look. For what help can man be to us in this situation? Or when You put Your child out on that deserted island with no entertainment, just having to live with self, my we do not take eternity as we ought. We don't take hell as we should. It's rare to find those that truly believe that there is such a place, and that God Almighty will send all to that eternal lake of fire if they miss His Son. I wish it would so once again that here there might be a trembling jailer, a weeping Mary, that there might be someone or many others, Lord, with such a concern for their soul that they'd be pleading with people to pray for them. And such a delight it would be to do so. But Lord, You're all but silent today. And here I, by help from Thee, will speak to them by that certain distinct sound which we all desperately need. My Father, open hearts to receive. Grant wisdom and declaration, the Spirit of God to guide and direct. Oh, what You do for us, the kind, gracious favor of speaking to hearts today. And in it, Christ our Lord be magnified. You are God glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now beginning with verse number 7, Paul writing, and even things without life, giving sound of the pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian, I'll get it out in a minute, unto me. Two words I'm drawing from in that, distinct from distinction, and certain from uncertain. Isaiah said, chapter number 40, the voice of him in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That was John coming out of the wilderness, preaching repentance. The passage we looked at last week, at midnight, a cry was made that came by way of a messenger. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice as a trumpet, show my people their transgressions. That's a general call in a message from a messenger. But it does no one any good until it's personal, has distinction in their heart, and gives that certain sound of a trumpet. Nathan comes to David and he starts off, David, there were two men in the city. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man had many fields and flocks and herds, but the poor man had but one little ewe lamb. And the rich man took that poor man's lamb and dressed it for his visitor. How David's anger was kindled at that man, and the punishment that he issued that should fall upon that man. And then Nathan looks at him with that finger stuck in his face. David, thou art the man. Nathan's message had no certain sound for David. He's thinking about who would dare do something like that. Until in that message, it became specific. You are the man. That which is missing in today's preaching, all of us, is the latter. We're not specific. Or though we might be specific in what we're saying, it goes out in a general sense and no one is affected. Listen to the language from one whose heart was prepared to receive the voice. It is the voice of my beloved. Come skipping over the mountains and hills. It's going to get to me. No obstacle between him and me that will hinder him from getting to me. Now, every verse that I've quoted to you thus far, it came by way of a messenger. But the bride in Song 2:8, she talked about the voice of her beloved. Is there not a distinction between the preacher's voice and the shepherd's voice? In a message, it is just the preacher crying out in the wilderness. It's just a voice by God giving distinction and certainty to the sound of that trumpet. And when the message goes out of one crying in the wilderness, repent, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Except you become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. When that voice, if a child or a sheep came with a seeking, prepared heart, then they'll walk out of here today, or you'll sit there on the pew and say, it is the voice of my beloved. I heard God talking to me. I heard that certain sound. God, the Lord Jesus, made it personal as a bride listening to the bridegroom. The preacher might be loud, he might struggle at times to get the right words, stumble in pronouncing some, never eloquent in his presentation, yet that tender-hearted sheep will hear if there is the work of the Spirit in his or her heart. In that old, rough, loud, stammering, struggling tongue, the sheep will hear deep in their soul that still, small voice. Though we did not see or hear God in the fire or in the whirlwind, though it would break, rend into rocks, disturb mountains, it had no voice to us except when the Lord came. And there was distinction. Elijah, what doest thou here? He said, I covered my face. And if you sitting there this day could in your soul hear God say, my son or my daughter, get up and come away with me. You, with your face covered in thanksgiving, you'd walk out saying, my shepherd had a voice, had a word for me today. Until then, it's just a sermon. That's all it'll ever be. How can two people sitting on the same pew hear the same words? Yet to one it was a word to their heart. That voice from above was distinct and it was certain. And to the other, though they may have heard the message, the passage expounded, but the heart leaves empty because God had nothing to say to that heart. Same can be said when you're reading your Bible. One could close it and tell about everything they read. They could put all the doctrines together and they could teach and describe and tell you in the fullest what the sense of that and the meaning of that doctrine is. and others could come. Glad, hungry, empty soul, read, and beyond the mental understanding of what they read, or the other, the Word had nothing for their heart, but it did teach their head. That one would find a word from the Beloved. Do not all the Scriptures speak of Christ? Is not the Word of God the voice, the Shepherd, to you? I say I wonder, but I'm pretty certain about this. If you took an infant, no mother's going to do this, but I'm just saying if you did, and you took two women, the mother and a good friend, and each spent equal amounts of time in a day talking to that infant, saying the same words, both being from the same country, same section of the country, both having the same dialect, telling the same thing. Over time, that little one, that infant's going to find out that woman right there has her heart engaged when she talks to me. He'd pick up. He'd find something of a heart that the one that was not the mother could not have. And so it is with the child of God, we being the bride or we being children. There's a distinction in the sound from that distant far land. Two men can deal with the same passage, one right after the other, in standing in a conference. One of them is very good in expounding. His illustrations are perfect, eloquent in delivery. But the child of God hears nothing of his heart. Wasn't in the message. It's just a good presentation, a truthful presentation of Scripture, void of the man's heart. Solomon said, Proverbs 27, as in water, face answer it to face. So, as in the heart of man, to man. You can tell when you're talking to someone whether you have their heart engaged. Sometimes you can be talking to people and they'll agree with you on everything you said and might understand everything you said, but you didn't have anything to say to their heart. It wasn't engaged in the conversation. So the children of God come oft, and in the book they hear the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Whereas the Jews came to the Old Testament Scripture, but it had not the voice of God to them. They did not hear Christ throughout those Old Testament passages. They could not be as that bride when she hears that voice. I know whose that is. That's the voice of my beloved. And he's coming, skipping over the hills, making a way to get to me. Would you turn with me to John chapter 10? John chapter number 10, verse number 26. But ye believe not, because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. All of ye note this, though I've told you before. It does not say, you're not my sheep because you didn't hear or didn't believe. It said you didn't believe because you do not have the nature of a sheep. You don't have the nature of a child. You don't have the nature of the bride. Therefore, you do not hear. You don't believe. Verse 16, we'll jump down and come back. Another sheep I have which are not of this fold. Going to send my disciples beginning at Jerusalem and Judea unto the uttermost parts of the world. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, because they're my sheep. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. Now verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The word know has such significance in its meaning. It is that of a man or a woman knowing their spouse because they lived with them. I know my sheep. I'm a spouse to them. My sheep, that bride knows my voice. She follows, my sheep follow. He said also, the hour is coming in which the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Dead people shall hear, and in hearing there's life. Now in the passage I read, Paul said there are many kinds of voices in the world. And across the land in various pulpits, there are many voices sounding out today. Some are sincere, some are God sent. But even with them, those sent of God, it must be in the hearts of the hearers. It must be as with Abram's servant that he sent to get a bride for Isaac. What if she won't come with me? God shall send his angel before thee. So the servant gets there, and all the servant told Rebecca and all the gifts that he gave her, her brother and her mother, none of it would have made a difference to her in the sense that she would go with him except the angel of God's presence had gone before the servant. So there's a lot of voices from the pulpits today. Some of them have the message from above, but it does the individual no good unless the angel of God's presence goes before the messenger and prepares the heart to hear. I had a couple of friends over the years that have had to use hearing aids. And they told me that to get used to them, you had to learn how to hear out of them. Hearing was learning all over again. Now that voice that I'm talking about, it is said of him, he would not cry or lift up his voice in the streets, but it'd be that still, small voice in your soul today. So you know what we're missing today, children? The servant's words being made effective by the Spirit of God or the angel of His presence. Isaiah 63 talks about the angel of His presence. And her heart, I mean, nobody's going to follow a stranger. I don't care what riches He bestows upon her. You're not going to follow a stranger. A stranger's voice they will not hear. So for her to follow a man that she had just met had and could only be because God fixed her heart to receive the words of the messenger that he was telling her the truth. She gave credit to his words. They had a distinct and certain sound. I'm come because my master has a son and you're to be his wife. That's as certain as could be. That's as distinct as could be. And because God went ahead of Abraham's servant, she received those words and she left with him to meet a man that she had never met before, following a stranger that she had just met the day before. She believed the stranger. She met one whose words meant something personal to her heart. And all the gifts that she received was little compared to her hearing Isaac's voice. Now the preacher's words, they'll fade into the distant background when one hears the heart of the Savior talking. It is that trumpet sounding distinctly and with certainty. It is the voice of my beloved. Then all of us become as certain. We become as certain as when Samson finally told Delilah the truth. And she sent word to the Philistines when she saw he had told her all his heart. And we hear the heart of the Lord Jesus. Be it a sermon that became a message to my soul, and even beyond that, God had a word. Now, children, there are many voices, and sometimes it will be difficult for you to distinguish, but if there's anything that is a little uncertain, or you got a little doubt with it, the Lord's telling you, you must do this or that. That uncertainty is a certainty that it's not the shepherd's voice. With him, it is love. It is kindness. It is a wooing of your heart. And with the evil spirit trying to imitate that of the shepherd, it'll cause a little disturbance in your soul. If it does, just leave it alone. It's not God's voice. Then, not only like Delilah, when we hear Samson's heart, he's told me all his heart. But we also become like Abigail. Now, she was married to a wealthy man. And David sent his servants to get her for his wife. She left a fortune to become the wife of a man that was a fugitive. But there was that certainty in her heart that Saul will never kill David. She told him, "Your life is bound up in a little bundle. It's all in love of the one that has anointed you, had you anointed to be king." And when the messenger came from David, his words were David's words to her heart. Now, you and I, since the day we've been on the earth, we've had preachers and evangelists all our lifetimes that have ended their sermon with a little "believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." It was to them sufficient if they could get a sinner to perform a certain act. But the one thing certain was God had not prepared a heart. And in the sermon they didn't hear the beloved's voice. They got a profession of faith out of them because they used words. Listen, almost 375 years ago, Bunyan saw this when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He and Hopeful were traveling along and they saw a man in the far distance behind, and Hopeful said, "Let's wait on him." Christian said, No, that's ignorant. He's not going to hear a thing that we have to say." But anyway, they waited on him. And when he got there, Christian began a dialogue with him. And he asked, "Ignorant, what hope do you have of being in heaven?" He said, "Well, I trusted Christ." "How do you know that you will be in heaven?" And Ignorant said, "My heart tells me so." Christian said, "But you may have a bad heart." "Oh no, I got a good heart. And it told me so." Finally, Christian said to Hopeful, "Come on. We can't say anything to him. He's not receiving it." By the way, there are two more copies of Pilgrim's Progress left back there. If you pick them up, Larry said he'd get some more. You said, "Well, I've read it." Well, I've eaten lemon pie before, too. And I wouldn't turn down a slice now. Go back and read it. You'll find you in there. But children, only, as you well know, the Spirit of God can convince one of a sinful nature and need of a Savior. "Behold, the days come that I will send a famine in the land. Not of bread or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Is our Lord not speaking the reason that we are in that famine? Is it because that we do not have the angel of His presence going before and during the message so that the hearer can distinguish that is the voice of my beloved? What's wrong that we're in those days? Is not our day our life similar to those that Amos spoke about. And I'll give you another good biblical illustration, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. It's the first book of the prophets, right after Joshua and Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Or as some of the older manuscripts had it, the first book of the Kings. All four, one and the same. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. What made it precious? Because there was no open vision. There was no prophet in the land. God was not talking. There was no divine communication from heaven to man. No vision in the land. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, lost eyesight because of his disobedience to God. But there, verse 3, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Samuel was laid down to sleep. Probably just a little room off to the side there where Samuel ministered unto the Lord there in the temple before Eli, before God. Before the lamp went out, that's those six lights on the candlestick couldn't be the top one because it was to be kept burning. But before all the other lights went out, a voice came and he said, "Here am I." And he gets up and he runs to Eli. Who else can he go to? That voice was so distinct that it was as Eli's voice. It was so certain that three times he goes to Eli. Can you imagine that old man there beginning to realize that the voice of God has bypassed me? And the voice of God has sounded to that young child. Can you imagine being without the voice of God in the land? Oh, the Word of God is precious because there's not much divine communication taking place today. And finally, Eli figures out God's talking to that boy. And he's got to learn. He goes back and he lays down and he says, "Speak, thy servant heareth." And God talked to him. Hopefully and prayerfully, there's the voice of God to you in the message. Sometimes there's the voice of God to you in your Bible. Don't give up if it's not always there. Just go back again. Sometimes, hopefully and prayerfully, the voice of God is in your prayers or in your devotion. But to hear, one must get in a silent setting. Not only the noise around you, but all the noise within. And that's the hardest place to get quiet, is in your head. But you can't hear God until these voices have been silenced somewhat to fit you for hearing. And Samuel mistakes the Lord's voice for Eli. But all that's due to the fact that God was not talking. He had never heard the voice of God. Suppose you come down here and God has a word. And what was a sermon became a message. But your mind had drifted off out into the future or back, way back into the past. And you missed the voice of God. To hear the Lord, you must prepare the heart to hear with full commitment to obey what you hear. You won't lose the voice of God. Just sometime don't follow up on the direction of your heart in a message. Then the captains of the forces came to Jeremiah and said, "Pray for us that the Lord show us the way wherein we are to walk." Jeremiah said, "I will." But Jeremiah knew it was a waste of his time because whatever he told them, they weren't going to do it. So in chapter number 43, verse 1 and 2, when he had made an end of speaking to all the people the words of the Lord, then that group stood up and said, "Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God did not tell you for us to remain in the land and not go down into Egypt." God didn't say that. Jeremiah knew when he told them, and he knew when he went to pray for them what they were going to do. And they did it. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 44, and this will be the last, and I hope I haven't, well, this is only the fourth place. That I've told you took place in chapters 42 and 43. And then they come back to him. 44, beginning with verse number 15. "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, 'As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the city of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine.'" Do you catch the significance? Not only their rebellion, but their devotion to a woman. our God sent Jesus Christ, He becoming man, was head and is head of the church. The church is a female. We are united to Him in holy matrimony. But Israel didn't intend. They were going to commit this wicked fornication with a queen. They weren't going to have a man rule over them. So they offered to the queen. And God let them. And Jeremiah grew silent. God said to Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. How oft has the Lord had a word to you and His commands, but you wanted to do something else? And you made excuses, well, that was just a preacher's voice. You missed His words. It may be weeks, it may be months before you have another word from the Lord. Eli never heard again except through a boy, and it was a destructive message, not one of kindness from the Lord to him. You keep on, you get to a place where heaven is silent to your soul. You get to a place, if you'll hear and obey, you get to a place where His words will become sweeter, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. And Him speaking to you will be the greatest treasure. You can pile up all the riches on earth and they will nothing compare to the God of heaven, the heavenly bridegroom talking kindly to your heart. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. It said, Christianity. I'm talking about true Christianity. I'm talking about the true church has fallen into such a low state spiritually, where even in most parts, God's own children have become satisfied with a little sermon or daily devotion. And where among God's people are the hearts crying out, Lord, speak again. Lord, open the word. Lord, help the preacher talk to me again. Where are the souls crying out for that voice today? Don't get satisfied in this pitiful low state that we found ourselves in, content with doing just religious duties. Never will I be content just reading the Bible. I want to hear God talking. Or will I be content in uttering some words to God, calling it prayer? I want to know in the depths of my soul that I'm talking to my Father and I've got the ear of my heavenly beloved. Pick up that book, Devotion. I'm seeking the voice of God in those old writers. The voice of God that by the Spirit of God can be made so fresh to me as if I sitting there and they were saying that to me. We have no crying jailer, as you sang. No weeping Mary. But let's not be content because we don't have. We've got tender, precious souls here that need to hear God. And I hope that's you also. Lord, speak to me again. Talk to me.